Hi guys.
Hello, hello.
And this is episode 4 of the Fake Podcast.
Yay!
Season 2.
Season 2, I guess.
Yes.
So yeah, how are you? Are you excited for Halloween?
No, I hate Halloween.
Why? No, I mean, I feel like we're actually pretty on the same page about this.
I know we're kind of known for hating things, but I promise you we don't hate that many things, but Halloween specifically, ever since I was little, I despised. I think after watching the Mean Girls, there's nothing truer in this world than the words Halloween is the one time a year when a girl can dress like a total slut and no other girl can say anything about it. And I feel like I take myself way too seriously to wear like a funny costume, like a huge pumpkin, yeah, like a balloon or like a stapler or something, I don't know. But I'm too self-conscious to wear something very sexy. So I'm stuck somewhere in the middle of being like a schoolgirl, but I actually look like a schoolgirl. You know what I mean? It's not like,
Yeah. I mean, I like Halloween insofar as it's a fun weekend and everybody gets together and, you know, you're whatever. But I don't like this whole theater of getting too into the costumes. And like we said the last time, like, I can't handle all the silly costumes and stuff.
Right.
That being said, I do have a little cow onesie just, you know, taking up space in my closet that might be coming out this weekend, but we'll see.
Yes, nothing says
That's where form and fashion collide. Okay, let's start with that. Lululemon, watch out.
No, I mean, and it's a detriment to myself. I wish I was one of those girls who's like, woo me, like, I look ugly and it's fine. You know what I mean? You have to have a face that really carries. You know what I mean? You have to know that you're hot. Or just be super confident. You know, one of the two. I'm neither.
I don't know. I feel like when you want to, you can bring the sexy.
Exactly. I can bring the sexy, but I'm not confident enough to not take myself seriously. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like sexy, yeah, you can do. It's sort of in a way, like, I remember when I was growing up.
I'm having a hard time remember when you don't bring the sexy. Because when we went to that wedding in Mexico, that slip dress.
Thank you.
I mean, it's very much like your aura, you know, you're very femme fatale.
Ah, thank you. This just reminds me of when I was growing up in Latvia, and, like, obviously all the Eastern European girls and, like, European, like, Latvian girls, they like to dress up a lot. So we'd go to the club, and I was 15, 16 at the time, and all the older girls, who now I realize they looked so old to me, but they were 22 or 23, they would wear these super high stilettos, mini dresses. They would basically be unable to walk. So to me, that was such a sign of, you know, they're not actually confident. They're just there to show off and, like, look good, but they're not confident enough to, like, have fun. And I am now, I have grown into that woman when it comes to Halloween, where, like, I'm just not going to be a funny staple.
I feel like a lot of, this is such, I promise we won't go deep down this rabbit hole, but I do feel like a lot of college is, like, dressing up like you're an adult until you actually feel like you're an adult, you know? Or not necessarily college, but, like, those years of your life, you know?
In what sense?
Tell like, me what more. You were talking about, like, when you see, like, a teenage girl wearing heels and it's like, she doesn't know how to walk in heels yet, you know? Mm-hmm. That kind of vibe. Or when guys, like, try on suits, but maybe it's their dad's suit and it's, like, a little big on them or something. Right. Stuff like that kind of vibe.
The crazy thing now is that I feel like because of TikTok and social media, so many young girls know how to dress well. They really do not go through this weird phase of, I don't really know how to do my makeup. I don't know how to dress. Like, the girls are girlying.
So true. Those 16-year-olds be slaying.
I know. Slay harder than I've ever been slaying. Literally.
And we're speaking as people, we each have sisters that are 10 years younger than us. So it's like my adolescent years, you know, acne all over my face, braces that you could, like, cut a wire with. Her adolescent years, you know, Accutane the second that thing popped up. Yeah, and She didn't really need braces, so she never got them.
Yeah.
Like, the clothing and stuff. Like, when I went to high school, like, I would just wear whatever was in my closet. You know, when she goes to school, she's wearing her, like, vintage jeans, her little retro Britney Spears t-shirt.
I feel like I read something about the over-sexualization of kids and how basically, I guess, companies or media, it's in their interest, in their profit to shorten the time span for when kids are kids and kind of extend the adulthood because they become, like, they start wanting things and consuming things. Although now that I think about it, like, as kids, we also wanted toys, yeah, right? There's nothing more powerful than a child clinging to his mom's arms being like, please, I want the pony or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, So yes, Halloween is coming. I'm going to be dressed as an angel.
Let's talk about this wedding dress that's on your bed right now.
Yes, it is a little wedding-y. Just because, you know, you want to put a certain image in a man's head. He sees me as I appear walking through the crowds of demons, a light shining on me, and he imagines how I'll be walking down the aisle.
I love that for you.
Yes.
Angel Gabriella. But yeah, we're probably going to this, like, some little Halloween party this weekend. We'll see how that works. Pushing on. So getting down to business, I thought the meat of today could be spent discussing James Corden, Balthazar, and Keith McNally.
The tartar of today. So one of the reasons why we feel passionately about this is that Balthazar over the years has kind of become our place, like our go-to, our, oh, we don't know where to go, we're going to Balthazar kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We all love steak tartare and we all love Prosecco, so we'll just go. It's like us and like a couple of our other good friends. We like to ritualistically go there every so often, order nothing except steak tartare, frites, and just Prosecco, and just kind of like, veg out.
Yes.
Or not veg, I guess.
And because of that, we've been following Keith McNally, who is the owner of Balthazar and a bunch of other restaurants, like Minetta Tavern and Mirandi. We've been following him for a while, and I actually really liked, if you guys don't follow him, he has a very, in my opinion, witty way of writing captions, and he shares stories. And my particular favorite is he gets these reports from Balthazar, from, I guess,
the manager.
So he writes little notes for Keith about, like, which celebrities came, how many tables were served, and there's like this little peek into the world of restaurants that I find really interesting.
But I think Keith McNally was like one of the first people to start opening all these sexy restaurants downtown in like the 90s and early 2000s.
Oh really?
Yeah, so it's like he was part of that kind of, so he has like a place in like New York restaurant nightlife.
Oh yeah, yeah,
whatever,
sure.
History or whatever. No, but Balthazar is a sleigh. The vibes are always amazing and everything. But let's get into it. So the other day he uploaded a picture on Instagram of James Corden. Super flattering picture of James Corden, saying, James Corden is a hugely gifted comedian, but a tiny cretin of a man, and the most abusive customer to my Balthazar servers since the restaurant opened 25 years ago. I don't often 86 a customer, which I guess means ban a customer, but today I 86'd Corden. It did not make me laugh. And then he goes on to give a couple of examples of the guy's treatment of the staff, which is, one, apparently he found a hair in his food, and he went off on the waiter and he said, get us another round of drinks this second, and also take care of all of our drinks so far. Which is just like, it takes some chutzpah, you know,
right,
to do that. And then the second was, apparently he went there with his wife, and his wife ordered egg yolk omelets. Which, is that a thing you order? Like, I don't like eggs, so it's totally lost on me.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah.
But, anyways, and apparently there was a little bit of an egg white mixed in, and then he yelled at the server saying, and I just copied and pasted verbatim, you can't do your job, maybe I should go into the kitchen and cook the omelet myself. And then the manager gave them promotional champagne glasses to smooth things out, and according to the report from the manager, Corden was very nice to him, but very unkind to the server. So yes, what do you think?
I think the one thing you can never ever do is be mean to the staff.
Yeah.
This is not the 1600s or the 1700s. None of these people are above you because they're doing a job of being in the service industry. What you should be doing is pay the utmost respect to people who are waiting on your table and like helping you have a good time. That is, to me, like it's one of those not unspoken rules, but it's one of those things that it doesn't matter how much money you have, if you don't do this, you're pathetic.
Yeah, I obviously agree. I think even outside of, you know, whatever working relationship, like your server, you know, the person cutting your hair, anything like that, take all of that out. I really think, unless somebody just like slap your baby in the face or something, but I really think no one should ever be spoken to that way at all.
Yeah.
And there is this like misconception, like you're not above like your, the person waiting your table, like they're at work and this is their job, like they're being paid to do it.
Right.
It's like, yes, of course they're serving you. It's not because they're worse than you. It's because their job is to be wait on your table.
Maybe like, the word service industry, to some people implies like some sort of like a mismatch in the hierarchy or whatever, but it's just not the case.
Yeah.
And the one thing you can always do, just by the way, and this is what I remember my mom taught me that very, very early on, that this is the true sign. You know how being on time was like the politeness of the kings? Yeah. It's the same thing with the waiter. So hearing that from that James Corden did that was annoying as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I'd say is, like, I feel like in our generation, people kind of know this, allegedly, and people always say, like, the biggest red flag is if someone is rude to their servant. It, you know, I'm sure it feels kind of, like, redundant, us going on and, you know, somewhat preaching about it. But, like, as much as we all say it, I do see people being kind of, like, not malicious with servers or with waiters, but with little things. Like, for example, like, I told you I was out at dinner a couple of weeks ago, and I was the only person at the table saying, like, oh, thank you, whenever they brought anything or took anything away.
Right.
You know? So it is, although it probably sounds redundant and, like, self-righteous for us to be getting on this soapbox about it, it is not, like, so widespread that everyone is such an angel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And about James Corden specifically,
no,
I don't care for James Corden, and I'll tell you why. I don't like these celebrities whose whole thing is how nice they are. Do you know what I mean? It was the same thing with...
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
It was the same thing with Ellen DeGeneres, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's literally the male Ellen DeGeneres. They're both blonde. They're both 5'8". No, I'm just kidding. But it's the same thing. Her whole thing was like, be kind, you know? And he's so cheeky. He does this stupid little car karaoke thing. He's in all these children's movies. He did Trolls, you know? And I don't like it. And it rubs me the wrong way when your whole persona is about how sweet and nice you are. You know, be a real person that has flaws, you know?
Let me clarify. Boy Rothko just does not believe that people are nice. Him and I have had multiple conversations over this throughout the years, and I always sided on I don't mind the niceness. I think you can tell when it's played up and it's inauthentic, but in general, the idea of like, oh, your message to the world is I'm going to be kind to people is not bad. I do see your point, though, because it does appear that a lot of the times people who are overly nice, their whole thing is being this fluffy adult of a person. Turns out there's something a little bit darker on the, you know, beneath. And I'm not going to compare, let's not compare, like, Ellen to James. Obviously, she was apparently abusive to her staff, like, throughout the years, whereas this was two incidents.
There are a lot of reported incidents of really rude to people. Yeah, yeah. And I've collected some, so I'm happy to go through them if you
please.
Like. Oh, I will. So, first of all, he did, you know how people do Ask Me Anythings on Reddit or AMAs?
Yes, yes, yes.
Which is basically when, you know, they'll go on Reddit and the users of Reddit are able to ask them whichever questions and the person doing it does their best to answer. Pretty, pretty self-explanatory. So his went really badly. He basically got like 5% positive comments and the rest were either people criticizing his show or like coming for him for ways he had behaved himself in public.
I'm so sorry. Remind me again. So he was the one answering?
Yeah, he was the one answering.
He was online.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he said, oh, hi, it's James. Like, ask me whatever you like. And then So here's the top rated comment. Hey, James, you won't remember me, but me and my friend sat at a table next to you and Harry Styles, plus some others in Manchurian Legends in London's Chinatown about 6 years ago. We didn't bother you, but you were massively entitled, see you next Tuesday, who yelled and treated the wait staff like shit. And when one of my party politely suggested you calm down, you got really aggressive and threatening, like a boozy panda. So my question is this. Why did Harry seem so cool while you were such a massive throbbing bellend?
Throbbing?
Throbbing.
It's almost like they picked out a word out of this erotic novel that you have been writing.
You can see why it was the top-rated comment. Sex sells.
Guys, what do you think about Boy Rothko and I writing an erotic novel? I feel like all of the eroticism will come from these moments of, and she was alone in the darkness.
I think people reading it would be like, okay, we get it. They're in a castle. She's in a really expensive dress. They're eating from a table super far apart, and the noise is only punctuated by the Civil War touching each other. When are they going to have sex?
They're like, not. That's the whole thing.
It's about longing.
It's about Taylor Swift.
Oh, it's about Taylor. 2 days. But I won't go down that path. I have another anecdote from the same Reddit thread. Again, these are people from the UK, so they're much more liberal with their use of see you next Tuesday. But anyways, massive see you next Tuesday in person. I saw a league of their own filming live through multiple tantrums over minor things at the production staff, with him being incredibly rude to them, which made the other regulars seem very awkward, like it was usual. Between each take, the other celebs would be chattering amongst themselves, bantering about. James was glued to his phone. At the end of the filming, people got up to go get pictures of James, and he massively kicked off, shouting at people to go away and to go back to their seats. The few he did let have pictures with, he was moody as hell. So, yeah.
I'm so curious about people. Again, if this is the image that you're going to present to the world, aren't you going to be hyper-focused on maintaining it?
How much, you know, not to use the buzzword, but how much emotional labor does it take to just pretend to be nice when you're in front of people, you know?
Right, and you're a celebrity who can afford to go to all of the private clubs in the world. Be a bitch there.
Yeah.
Like, be a bitch among your own people.
Yeah. And then there was one more thing, which is not, like, a fan encounter, but he had Jimmy Kimmel on his show. He had Jimmy Kimmel on his show, and they did this segment, which was basically, like, truth or dare. It was, like, there would be this plate of really allegedly unappetizing food, and basically you have to respond to the question or the prompt, or you have to eat the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question or prompt that Jimmy gave James, that's also a bar, Jimmy at the James, but neither here nor there. The prompt he gave him was, name one of the cameramen on your crew. And this is James' show, and he wasn't able to name a single person. He just ate the thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is not a mark of good character, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you have to get to know the people.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's almost like willful, you know? Like, you're not God's gift, you know, to television that you can't say, hi, I'm James, to the people, like, working on your show. Which is, again, like, a whole issue. Like, they're not beneath you. It's just their job is to work on their show. They're not working on your show because you are, like, the anointed one or something.
Also, by the way, these people will make you or break you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you never know who actually holds the wheel. Like, not just be a good person to be a good person, but also be a little bit strategic. Yeah. Like, these people are the ones who are in charge of making you look good. Why wouldn't you pay them some respect, you know?
Also, like, hello, nepotism. Like, one of their parents is probably, like, the CEO of NBC or something, you know?
That's the only way to get a job in media. That's so true.
You know? So with all of that said, I was, you know, flying high, so happy, because I love when these people get taken down and exposed for the villains that they really are. But of course, 20 minutes later, Keith McNally releases another statement saying that he's forgived James Corden, and I will read it out as well. James Corden just called me and apologized profusely. Having fucked up myself more than most people, I strongly believe in second chances. So if James Corden lets me host his Late Late Show for 9 months, I'll immediately rescind his ban. Ha ha ha, no, of course not. But anyone magnanimous enough to apologize to a deadbeat layout like me doesn't deserve to be banned from anywhere, especially Baltazar. So come back to the five and dime, Jimmy Corden, all is forgiven. XX.
So is that sarcastic?
It's not sarcastic.
But is it the tone? It's a little like...
He's like, you think he's playing with him a little?
A little bit.
I mean,
you know,
he's still...
kind of like, oh, you big man, you came down from your heaven. You know, you apologized to a little deadbeat. And a lot of people also made a good point of like, but did he apologize to the servers?
That's what I was about to say. And I'll tell you what. So, you know, in the past, I've worked... My mom has her own... I guess we'll be vague. My mom has her own company. And in the past, I've worked as a receptionist for her. And it's a huge, huge thing that they'll be incredibly rude to the people up front or the mid-level staff or whatever. And then they'll feel bad about it. And when they apologize, I'm so sorry about that to my mom. And it's like, you didn't do anything to her. Why are you apologizing to her, you know? Right. And then, of course, just like this, the ego is satisfied, all is forgiven, and you're fine. And it tells them that it's okay to treat people that way, you know? But yeah, so it's a thing, and it's extremely annoying.
People just trip on power.
Yeah.
And that's all that it is.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, he posted another unflattering picture of James. I think what ended up happening is Keith obviously has, he has what, like, now he has 90,000 followers. I don't know how many of them were new ones because the story really blew up, you know? And I think he didn't really expect it. He posted it in a kind of joking, you know, his entire vibe is telling kind of rude, slightly, not necessarily sexist, but definitely not very appropriate stories from the workplace. So I think he didn't really expect it to blow up the way that it did. And when it did, he kind of felt bad because, you know, this will probably have, who's going to forget this? You know what I mean?
Like, I won't.
We won't. But yeah, an unpleasant story for sure. And hopefully James will learn from it.
I don't think he will learn from it. It mm-hmm. seems awful. But anyways.
I think he deserves to have everything taken from him, right?
I actually think he deserves to have everything taken from him.
Stop it.
I really do. Oh, and there's one other story about him also, which is basically that it wasn't from... Basically, he got on a plane, you know, like a commercial plane, but he was in, you know, the first class cabin, and somebody in the back noticed him. And this lady sat next to him, and, you know, she was very, like, unassuming, didn't, like, ask him anything. She had a baby, but she apologized to him for the noise that the baby was making. And he, like, you know, nodded politely towards her. He was, like, pretty nice about it. Then at the end, when the woman's trying to get her stuff from the overhead bin, she's like, I'm so sorry. Could you please hold our child for 1 second? So him being so cold, that was his wife and his child. Not, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The wife asked, could you please hold the child for a second?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. So, father of the year strikes again.
Anyway, moving on from James Corden.
Yes.
We also have another thing to discuss, which is...
Selena and Haley.
Yes.
Ugh. Disgust.
When I say that the world stood still for a second, when the photo of Selena and Haley embracing each other was released on social media, I really mean that it stood still.
Well, you wrote a bit of a think piece on our Instagram, so
yes.
Take it away.
Yes. So my whole take on it was the following. And a lot of people immediately said, PR, stage, schmage, I don't care. The message that it sends is ultimately a positive one, right? Because I feel like really looking back on the early 2000s, the coverage of women has been insane. They've been dissected from every possible angle by men and women alike. Sexism was so rampant. Women were accused of being whores, of not putting out enough, of wearing too little, wearing too much. And I feel like all of these feuds between women are always getting blown up. Like Meghan Markle versus Kate Middleton, Haley versus Selena, like Taylor versus Katy Perry, or Rihanna versus, you know, there are just a lot of things, and the media really profits off of this news cycle. And my general theory about media is that women just generally draw more attention to themselves. Like, I just don't hear, the celebrity culture really revolves more around reporting on women, in my opinion, than it does on men. And a big chunk of it is comparison of women. Like, just look at all these accounts that used to be, like, who is wearing this better? Who is looking older? Who is hotter? You know, and I really feel like the culture has shifted from that onto, no, women can just exist separately. We don't need to exist in relation to each other. Anyway, all that is to say is that the picture to me was like, both of them decided to put an end to this feud. Both of them decided to stick it to the media because a whole kind of like small farm of accounts grew around this whole scandal between Haley, Selena, and Justin, where people were like tracking how Haley was copying Selena or how Selena was copying Haley, how both of them were still obsessed or not obsessed with Justin, you know? And that was them just forcefully saying no. And I don't care if they hate each other. Do I expect... And some people were like, are they going to be getting like friendly martinis from now on? No, obviously not. Why would you do that with a wife of your ex-boyfriend? But just them being like cordial enough to take the photo, I think was a smart move.
I see.
What do you think?
Well, it's so funny because I didn't even register it as, you know, having to do with Haley and Selena. All that I could think about was how could Selena betray Taylor like this?
Right. Do you you don't think that Taylor, because I feel like Taylor is known to be like magnanimous, but in a slightly contrived way. You know what I mean? Like she will take the photo. She has taken photos.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or like with Kanye West, right? Like, she will take the obligatory photo to put down the fires of like the gossip, right? It doesn't mean that she actually means any of that.
Yeah, but I think Justin and Taylor have been at odds for a while now. Right. So I don't know. I just don't see. I don't see it. But yeah, I mean, that was my thought. The other thing go on.
No, I was just going to say that another theory that someone proposed was that it was actually more. So another question is like, who is this more beneficial for, right? Like Haley or Selena? And some people were like, why did Selena do this? It's so beneficial for Haley. Someone a little bit more skeptical might say, well, Selena knew how much attention Haley is getting from this whole triangle, mm-hmm. right? So she just decided to put an end to it. Therefore, Haley will not be able to go back to that as a topic. Like, it has officially been taken off the table, it seems, for now at least. So she just didn't want to be used as, like, a pawn in their publicity games. But on another hand, like, Haley was the one who was always seen as, you know, Selena and Justin got back together, and then all of a sudden, a few months later, Justin is proposing to Haley. So Haley was always seen as, like, the other woman, kind of, or she was seen as the, you will never have the love that Selena and Justin had. Because for our generation, we really grew up, like, watching them get together, get, like, break up, get back together. Yeah. So I think Haley was not benefiting from this at all. And it doesn't seem like, you know, she's obviously gotten her big break by marrying Justin, but I don't think she was actually getting anything positive out of this comparison between her and Selena.
Yeah. Interesting. So you've given it some thought.
Yes. The things that I think about at night.
The only thing I will say, Susan B. Anthony, is like, I'm kind of over analyzing celebrities through the lens of feminism. And I just say that just because, I mean, I do feel like we have to keep in mind that these are two ultra-wealthy individuals, and there are people in the world who are women going through much worse things, you know what I mean? And I feel like it's just like almost a little bit of a distraction. So when we put so much energy into viewing these things like through the lens of feminism and the oppression that they face, it can be kind of a distraction from people who are subjugated on this earth, who are really going through it, you know?
Right.
Much, you know, yes, it's a pity that someone's pitted against each other. And obviously it's true and wrong that women are pitted against each other more than men are pitted against each other in the media. Some might say that that pales in comparison to the injustices some other women face.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, but it is what it is. And I know people say, like, you can do both, but do you do both? You know what I mean? People will write tombs on the slightest thing that happened to one celebrity and nothing about anything else. But not to go on a whole like rant there.
No, I agree with you 100%. And what reminded me of that is that today I was reading some outtakes from the Variety interview with Meghan Markle. And I don't know if you remember, we actually posted, I think it was a month ago, that her interview came out with a cut. And it was an interview that Meghan selected herself, or like she really requested that she be interviewed by this woman, and it's a writer of color. And the writer of color came in and kind of wrote a pretty cutting piece.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It was a pretty cutting take on Meghan that kind of exposed her as this, if not phony, then like overly princessy, you know, like up in her castle in Montecito, like not really connecting with the real world.
Yeah.
All that is to say is that, and Meghan herself in the next interview with Variety mentioned that she realized that the interview at the cut was not what she expected it to be. Anyway, all that is to say is that there will be some people who at the end of the day will see more tension between the rich and the poor versus like the feminism that goes on in the elite echelons of Hollywood, you know, like one multimillionaire to another multimillionaire.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that take.
Yeah. But yeah, let's see.
I personally like all of these things because I do think that the narratives that the media creates are important, and it's just my personal interest. And at the end of the day, like, yes, I try to somewhat be intersectional, but I'm just going to talk about the things that interest me. So while recognizing that all of this is kind of superfluous, but in the world of media, I do think that it matters.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like to talk about celebrity stuff as well. I just don't think that it's like particularly important, you know, if that makes any sense.
Interesting. Yeah, another example that came to mind was, so I follow The Shade Room religiously. I don't know if you guys know. Yeah, it's this incredible Instagram account that basically focuses on black entertainment, like black gossip exclusively. And they used to refer to all of the women who had children with men and were not married as baby mamas. And then someone in the comments pointed out that they were only referring to black women as baby mamas. And then I think Drake's baby mama is not black. And they were always calling her the mother of Drake's son.
Oh, wow.
And people started pointing that out. And now The Shade Room exclusively refers to women as the mother of someone's son, yeah. Which I think is a really nice change, right? Because baby mama has like a little bit of a negative connotation to it. So things like that, I think, do matter. And the coverage, I think it matters.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, are we out of topics for today?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. That was a nice little chat.
Cool.
Okay, well, as always, thank you guys so much. And we really do appreciate any feedback. And please rate our podcast as well. I think it'll help to get discovered by more people. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye. All right.